Welcome back for our fourth episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out.
I'm Mary, he's Andy.
So before we begin this episode, I wanted to talk briefly about our website, because we now have an official podcast website at SoundCloud under the podcast name.
Oh, which reminds me, while we're talking about official stuff, have we been giving credit to the creators? I mean, we're not trying to monetize this, so I don't think we're going to get in any trouble, but...
I mean, Teen Titans is owned by DC and Cartoon Network and Warner, Time Warner.
And created by et cetera.
I don't think we'll have to worry too much about it.
All right.
But anyway, so we have our own SoundCloud and we have our own iTunes feed. We recorded the first three episodes a little while ago, and Mary was out of town, then I was out of town, and now we're back to do the final part of season one. So we got episode 9, which is Mad Mod, and this is the one where the Teen Titans are trapped in a big mansion house thing where they fight optical illusions against a crazy British guy. Episode 10 is,
a mad mod, you might say.
A mad mod, yes. Episode 10 is, Cyborg's Car. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
Cyborg's Car. And that focuses on Cyborg's Car. He just built it and it gets into all kinds of crazy hijinks. And then episode 11 and 12 is the season one finale. It's a two-part finale featuring Slade and Robin.
Heavily.
Heavily, yeah. Nothing else was
hot
important.
And heavily.
So we'll get through all these episodes soon. So let's start with Mad Mod. Pretty enjoyable episode.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is one where it does start following the rule of Japanese intro means silly episode.
Yeah. This was definitely the people who I have to give credit to the creators for planning out this episode, because the Titans gotten through a lot of optical illusion traps, and it's just crazy. They're careful with the cubes. They jump on black and white cubes. They are going through paintings and doors and...
They go through the sea of holes.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of wonderful things going on here that you can only pull off in a cartoon. And it's great in that it works exceedingly well for the twist at the end, in which Mad Mod is just an old crazy dude just controlling his house.
Yeah. Although... I mean, it wasn't quite as illusory as we thought. Like, some things were, but a lot of it was a lot of practical effects, one might say, that don't make any sense. But cartoons!
Yeah. So this was definitely probably the silliest episode.
In this season.
In this season, definitely, by far. And I think because of which, I enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the last...
It's not like the show takes itself seriously in the first place, but it's nice when they just have one that lets loose. Like... When we had, is it Mumbo?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had wacky zaniness and then horrifying existential crises.
Yeah, so...
Paired together.
Yeah, and I think this is even taking into account that the previous three episodes, I just took a quick look at my notes here, you have Switch to the Puppets episode, you have Deep Six with Aqualad, and then you have Masks with Red X. So, you're dealing with semi-serious to serious episodes, dealing with the likes of identifying yourself, who you are, betrayal of friends, and self-confident issues. So, and then this is just total left field.
This one doesn't even focus on a character.
No.
One of my favorite things is we start, like, all the characters are, like, sent to fake classrooms to be hypnotized and yelled at by a British guy.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with Robin just because he's the leader, not because it's a Robin episode. He goes and finds Starfire, and then Cyborg and Raven made it out on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like a Batman kind of, like, picture here where Batman's the only one that was able to get out of a trap compared to the other superheroes. Everyone's able to get out on their own accord with the exception of Beast Boy.
Yes, who suffers from the running gag of constantly getting hypnotized.
Yeah.
Everybody else resists. He, like, has a single glance of a swirly thing and he's out.
Yeah. And that's a great running gag, too. I mean, they talk about the Cyborg, for some reason, knows that to snap Beast Boy out of it, you need to make him laugh. And Starfire saying boogers.
That actually... Sorry, finish your thing.
No, that's about it. Starfire saying boogers is hilarious. And that's boogers? Just one of the... Yeah, that's just one of the best moments in the episode.
It made me realize that the Cyborg figured that out somehow.
Yeah. Now,
either he's dealt with a hypnotized Beast Boy before, or he snapped Raven out of it.
Yeah.
By making her laugh.
Ooh, that'd be pretty funny. But you seem pretty resistant.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. I can't imagine, but that is a tantalizing prospect.
Yeah. So Cyborg, it kind of goes to show how Cyborg and Beast Boy are really connected to each other, like, in one way or another, that they have a good, deep friendship here.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
Yes.
And one thing that I forgot about this episode until I watched it recently is there's a lot of references. A lot of references to fictional media, particularly to art and to movies.
Pop art.
Pop art, yeah. So... You got the, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting it. The
And you took notes.
I know I took notes. You didn't take notes. You have no right to scorn me here.
Yes, I do.
The, who was the famous artist?
Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol. So there's a lot of Andy Warhol parodies. There's Eschler parodies with the melting clock.
No. Escher does the optical.
Oh, Escher does the stairs, right.
Yeah,
never mind.
He did. Yes. Dolly does
The melting clocks.
I don't remember melting clocks.
There's a... I remember it, though. But there is...
I believe you.
Yes. Now maybe I'm questioning myself. But there's definitely the stairwell scene. There's the famous art of the apple in front of the man in the suit.
Oh, that's Renee something.
Mm-hmm. And only in this case is the banana on Mad Maud's face.
I think I missed that. That's a good one.
There another one, speaking as a Pink Floyd fan, there's a huge brick in the wall kind of subtext going on here, yeah. I think, because there's a lot of getting children into their place and stamping out any sort of individualism and just basically breaking their will. So there's a lot of that.
Maud Mad did not like keeps going on about them being terrible little do-gooders.
Yeah, I love that. That's hilarious too. And then there's Clockwork Orange reference. And there's the scene where Starfire's her eyes are being forced open.
Yeah.
So that's a clear Clockwork Orange reference, which I believe the voice actor for Mad Maud
is that dude?
Is that dude. I think, if not, he was closely associated with Clockwork Orange.
Don't have internet.
Rodney McDowell, I believe his name.
We had time to do research before we recorded this. We did not.
That's okay. We're having fun, though. But it was a great episode, though.
Lots of fun. And one thing... Okay, so when they're divided, they're each set in a different classroom, so... Robin has just the most classic generic classroom. He's just at a desk in front of a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Starfire is in a chemistry lab.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes.
No, she's in the library.
She's in the library. Beast Boy's in a chemistry lab.
We never saw what
Cyborg said what he was in, but I don't remember. And Raven was in gym, which is hard to forget because she, like, pulls aside her cloak to reveal she's in a jersey.
Yeah.
That she did not take off the first chance she got.
Yeah.
And I want to know, because most of the characters, he has them, like, sitting strapped to a desk. How the hell does that work for a gym class theme?
Spinning balls? Maybe she has to dribble spinning balls that have a vortex on them? That's my guess. Mary's giving me a look right now.
Yeah, I'm just...
Hey, anything's possible in Mad Mod's House of Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, won't you lot ever learn? You're in my world, my duckies. You can't win. Titans, go!
But how do I...
Make him laugh!
How many Okarans does it take to hoagie a Morphlark? Finbar! Boogers?
Boogers! Oh, man!
The final time Beast Boy is hypnotized, what snaps him out of it, it's not any normal, like, toilet humor jokes, but Raven's saying Beast Boy had a brain.
Yeah, I remember that scene as well. That one's a pretty funny one. I also, isn't there a Yellow Submarine reference?
Yeah, well, there's the Sea of Holes, and I don't remember what else there was.
There's probably another one that we're...
Oh, there was The Doors.
The Doors?
Yeah, it might be a Scooby-Doo reference, but where they're running in and out of the doors. There definitely was one with one of the cars going through the doors.
Okay.
Because there is one whole big scene involving a car in Yellow Submarine.
The scene with the doors is amazing, and just for making sure people are aware of this one, it's a very similar to a Scooby-Doo. You're running back and forth on a hallway of doors. But in this case, they're morphing the perspective of the hallway. So if you come in from a door that's farther away from the camera and move closer, you're still that small size, that perspective of being farther away. You move up, but you're still small. And so even though you open a door, and a regular sized door far away, when you come to a closer door to the camera, you have to reach up and grab the doorknob to turn it and open and go into it. So that was just, I just love that kind of humor to it.
That being said, I want to say it is such a crying shame these DVDs don't come with any commentaries.
Yeah. Just a brief little thing on the voice actors.
Yeah.
Which is entertaining, but nothing really insightful for the episode.
Yes.
Because this would be one good episode that I would like to see the commentary on, that I would rewatch just for the commentary alone.
Yes. All right. I think we've said all there is to say about that one.
Yeah.
There is a music sequence, sort of, where they're running around all crazy-like.
Oh, yeah, there is, yeah.
Another song by Hi Hi Puffy Amiyumi. And
yeah.
That's nice.
It is nice. I agree.
More songs. That's all I ask.
So, now episode 10.
Sorry, I made a face at him.
Episode 10 is Cyborg's car. We get this great little montage at the beginning of Cyborg making his car.
With love.
Yes, which does confirm that he's at least 16. I want to say he's 17, but...
I think you don't have to be 16 to make a car, technically.
Yes, but he's driving it,
yes.
Though.
Although, maybe he could have gotten off on technicality. He's like, this? It's for the Soapbox Derby.
Yeah. Again, another kind of a lighter beat episode.
Yes. Gearing up for the darkness of the finale.
Yeah. Like, Mad Mod is full-on crazy. Cyborg's car is kind of toned down to be more of the...
The stakes aren't very high.
Yeah, kind of like a humorous episode, but kind of a little bit more grounded.
Yes. So we get two villains in this one.
Yeah.
Not to mention the car thieves. Mm-hmm. Gizmo shows up.
Yeah.
Not some of his best taunts relative to his first appearance.
Well,
none of them made me gag.
One of them was pit sniffers.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but.
And then there's snot munchers.
Ah, yeah, it's the gross one.
Yeah. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. So inspiring. I like this because it, like all the other ones, it's like, okay, villains are happening. This one, they obviously expect us to know that character already. Like, it's a reveal when he shows up. Whereas, you know, all the other villains, just, here's the villain.
Gizmo's
a friend now, yeah.
Oh.
Gizmo's a recurring character now where you can, like, sort of reveal and it's like, oh, hey, there's that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's funny because this is the first time we see him since...
The high five.
Yeah. No, well, it's not high five yet. But the since Gizmo, Jinx, and Mammoth.
Oh, right.
And so we're seeing him by himself without Jinx and Mammoth.
Yeah.
And so this
And he spends his time stealing people's cars.
And he's honestly the strongest of the three. Like, he's definitely...
The most versatile.
Yeah.
He's the Batman of the group.
And he's definitely the one that would give Cyborg a run for his money.
Yeah, he's practically a, like, archenemy to Cyborg in this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a great line, too, said by Cyborg, who says it with such passion. He says, "Get your tiny butt out of my car." And it's so great. I love the way that's delivered here.
Tiny butt. Also, he gets indignant about whether or not Gizmo's old enough to drive.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, too.
Yeah. Mind you, Gizmo did not steal Cyborg's car from Cyborg. He stole it from some greasers that somehow managed to steal it from Cyborg despite, like, all his security.
Yeah, like, did he somehow press the unlock button by mistake or leave the key? Like...
Are the greasers actually that good?
Yeah, like, there's a lot of questions here about how these two...
Off-screen magic.
Yeah, how these two nobodies managed to steal Cyborg's car in less than 5 minutes. So, I'm kind of, like, questioning the plot here.
And
unbelievability.
Let's touch on the boring other villain.
Overload. Yeah.
He's an electric guy. He controls electronics.
Well, what's funny about this episode was that I remember when I was watching it, I was like when I first saw it as a kid, and I was trying to remember back to it. I was like, doesn't Overload take over the car? And then they apprehend him, and I was like, oh, I guess that doesn't happen in this episode. And then when I first saw Overload, I thought, wait, I thought Gizmo was in this episode. I was super confused. I was like, oh, it's... Both in one episode.
For kind of not a very strong episode overall. I don't mean to bring it down, but a lot happens in it.
What happens? In Overload, you know, like, he's kind of a weak villain, but, like, they did set it up nicely with him taking over electronics. He gets apprehended, and then he escapes and then takes over Cyborg's car. Like, that's a good setup for it.
Okay. Here's the most important thing about this episode. It's a weird Cyborg-Raven friendship episode.
Yeah. Which is something that I thought we would never get to at all in the series.
Yeah, we didn't remember.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a nothing episode, honestly.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, we talked about in our first season of this podcast how...
Season? Episode, you mean?
Episode, whatever. A first episode of this podcast that there's like, what? If you have... 5, 4, 8, 10. Yeah, so there's 10 combinations in total of pairing up each of the Teen Titans. And I thought...
Wait, are you saying heterosexual or...
No, it's like...
Oh, as
Beast
friendships.
Boy and Starfire. Like, those kinds of centered episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought we wouldn't... There was going to be no Raven Cyborg episodes. Because those are as far away from each other as you can... So you have to ask the question, what kind of situation do you find yourself in where you can force the two together?
And this wasn't really forced. It was just we happened to focus on Raven comforting Cyborg.
Yeah, but it works really well because they set it up that Raven just doesn't care at all about Cyborg's car. She doesn't see the big deal with it. But she still emotes with him. She still
empathizes
with him. And she even compares her powers to Cyborg's love for his car. How he put a little bit of himself into his car, just as Raven puts a little of herself into her magic.
Yes. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. And it has a, like, I just love the little touch at the end. Where they're working on his second car.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're about done with it, Raven, like, pops up from behind the car and she has smudges all over her face. Cute. And she smiles, like, a good smile. Not, like, a subtle smile, but, like, a big grin. And it's so great. That's so awesome.
I need more fan fiction just where, like, Raven gets into working in mechanics just on her own.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, like, a good outlet for her, it turns out.
Yeah. That would be pretty, I think, with her magic, she'd be able to.
Yeah.
Put all the different intricate parts together because she can see
them with her mind. The important thing is keeping it physical because it's sort of a way to ground her.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, the idea is it takes all her concentration without, you know. Anyway, I'll not write that fan fiction. Somebody else do it, please.
Yeah. I think I remember watching this episode when it first came out, and I think that's when I briefly shipped Raven and Cyborg.
Oh, they got along!
They got along! They should be together. Especially, I think, when season 2 came out and I was rewatching season 1 episodes, mm-hmm. I see this episode, like, oh, it makes sense. There are a couple. this is coming from a 13-year-old perspective.
Yeah,
no,
I understand.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
I want my car.
Yeah, see, the thing is, we sort of lost it in a race.
You lost my car? My car lost a race?
No way, we beat him easy. She handled like a dream.
She did? How'd she take the curves? Because, you know, I've been working on the suspension for it.
Don't try to distract me.
There's also a lot of great lines in this car and line deliveries, because another scene is when Raven is saying, when she's after she comforts Cyborg, she then says something like, "And someone's eating onion rings in your baby."
Speaking of excellent line readings, we watched the little bit on the DVD about the voice actors. And we had Cyborg's voice actor, I actually wrote his name down. But anyway, he was talking about how with Cyborg, there's no, like, in-between. Like, there's no...
Oh, yeah.
No chill. It's just...
Yeah, he's either...
really ecstatic or angry.
No, he's really ecstatic or really, really serious.
Yes.
He's really, like...
Sorry, yes.
He's really serious. And there's a great... And then he does this...
Kerry Payton.
Yeah.
Spelled with a K-H.
Yeah, and it's great. And he does this little thing where, like, Cyborg's never in between. Where someone's like, "How are you doing?" And Cyborg's like, "I could take it, or I could leave it." It's just has such a great understanding of his character.
Yes.
And there's another line that's related to that. Because when Overload takes over the car, he... Or Overload or Gizmo, whoever, they pop out this huge cannon from the trunk of the car or the roof of the car, and they aim it at Cyborg and Raven. And Cyborg's like, "Oh, that's my new plasma cannon! Oh, it looks so beautiful on my baby!" And Raven's looking at him, and he goes, "I mean... Oh no."
Such a, like, level oh no.
Oh man.
Also, we have a car chase where Raven's just floating the car, and that's pretty great.
Yeah. She's definitely a good support character in this episode.
Yes.
Like, she definitely is, like, doesn't fully quite get Cyborg's love, but she goes with it anyway, and it's great.
It's also, like, one of the reasons I think they managed to get Cyborg and Raven alone together is they made the excuse that they'd all split up to look for Cyborg's car.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm just trying to imagine what everyone else is doing during that time.
Beast Boy is probably eating tofu burgers. That seems like all he does on his free time.
Well, he likes to... Like, I imagine he'd do the bloodhound thing.
That's true.
Maybe he'd get
I thought that was this episode that he would turn into a bloodhound, but he didn't. So I guess that's another episode.
And Robin's getting weirdly obsessive about it. Starfire's just sort of going around asking people politely.
Robin's getting obsessive with Slade. He's not looking for the car, he's looking for Slade.
I mean, we don't know that these are in order so much.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about the episode?
No, I think we hit all the good parts. You know, I know you said, like, this is a kind of like a not noteworthy episode, but the more I talk about this, the more I realize this is kind of a funny episode. I mean, maybe not the most memorable, but it's still...
No.
I think when I compare it to other episodes I remember more strongly, like the one with Aqualad or the one with Felix... Fix It. Excuse me. I call it Felix. I feel like I don't remember this episode as much, but I enjoy this episode more than those episodes do.
Okay. You we'll just liked it that Raven smiled, didn't you?
What? Raven smiled, the lines, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, no, it does have excellent line delivery. Honestly, Carrie Payton's a very good voice actor.
Yes.
And he does a lot of it.
What else did he do?
A lot of DC stuff. Of course, he's always Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
But he was Aqualad in Young Justice, it turns out.
What?
Yeah. Which we still haven't watched.
What? That makes sense. I don't recognize it because Aqualad seems so chill.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love it. You want to do the season finale then?
Oh, right. But first, a word from our sponsors.
What?
Wait. Okay, they're done.
Okay. I could actually splice something in, too, in that. Unless you just want silence.
Well, maybe we have no sponsors.
We have no sponsors! And that's okay. We're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts.
This is an act of charity.
Okay, so now we are in the season finale.
Two parts.
So this episode is called Apprentice. These two episodes, part one and part two. And basically, it's about Slade wanting Robin to be his apprentice. And it's really
creepy.
It's
about Slade forcing Robin to be his apprentice.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Successfully. For a time.
Robin's insane. So, like, this first episode, like, it's kind of established how... The first part of the season finale, it's established how obsessed he is with Slade.
Yes.
If the Red X episode hasn't established it enough, this first part does, because he's obsessively looking for Slade and he's not letting up on the gas
at all. The episode opens with Robin having a nightmare. Obviously, we don't know it at first, but he's, like, doing a chase across Colorado, apparently. Chasing Slade across Colorado, and then they get in a fight, and it turns out he destroyed what was symbolically his teammates, and then he takes off Slade's mask, and it's his own face!
Whoa! So yeah, Robin's kind of obsessed with Slade. I forgot that he was so passionate about it. And I'm kind of glad... I remember that he's not as passionate about it in later seasons, so... I'm kind of...
We do have that one where he's literally going crazy over it. But that's next season.
I don't remember that. Oh. I think that's the third episode. Third season. I mean.
Oh, dang.
Because I think he dies. Slade, quote-unquote, dies at the end of season two. So we don't get those visions until afterwards.
Hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm not sure, though.
Hmm.
I mean, he could be right.
Wait, does he get kicked? Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Cinderblock comes back. Might as well briefly mention him.
Yeah. He's there to give Robin a hard time.
Yeah.
And separate him from the group, more importantly.
Which, if...
And lead him to Slade.
Yeah. If at least one of the
Titans had stayed with him, the whole plan would have been messed up.
Yeah, so Slade is definitely doing the Batman gambit here.
Although, I will say, it might actually be safe to assume that Slade had a backup plan if somebody had stayed with Robin.
Yeah.
Or somebody else stayed with Cinderblock.
That's probably true, too.
I bet he had, like, all along those sewers, like, different little stopping things to try to distract Robin.
Mm-hmm. I also remember another reason why I think Robin...
You say Batman Gambit, but he also could be Batman crazy prepared.
Yeah, that's true, too. Robin's also crazy in this episode because he's punching both metal and block. He's punching Cinderblock around. He's just throwing them around, which goes to show how the level of threat Cinderblock is at this point. He's really kind of fallen downhill since his debut.
Okay. Robin does explicitly have steel-tipped boots. I would not put it past him to have, like, some kind of alloy in his gloves.
Yeah. Well, he's punching not only Cinderblock, but all those robot henchmen as well. So
the robot henchmen are like cardboard, though.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
It's like eggshells.
So Robin's...
Eggshells with some circuits.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I keep talking a lot in this episode. So Robin is...
Robin separated. He finds a tracker that leads him directly to Slade, which should have tipped him off, but he is a kid and he is single-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk about the threat that the Titans thought they were stopping was a bomb that stops time.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying, and the fact that that's a technology everyone's familiar with that exists... is kind of messed up.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's pretty hard to pull off, too.
Yes, but do you think they actually, like, somebody actually made one before? Because they know it's a thing.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Or was it just...
Kind of like
how... Or is it hypothetical all the superheroes learn about in superhero school?
Well, it's kind of like used a few nuclear bombs and... Even though there's a lot more where that comes from, you just don't
use
it.
True, but you can't really test a time-stopping bomb.
Can you?
Unless you have a way to reverse it, have it self-reverse it.
Yeah, or maybe have it, like...
I don't know, have somebody with time powers and be like, hey, can you clean this up?
We
want to try it out.
Maybe have it put in the middle of a field, put a stopwatch on it, and then just stop time and see...
How would you even know?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
But, yeah, so Robin
this,
is...
Okay, let's go back to the main rule, which is don't overthink it for Teen Titans. They don't want you to.
Yeah.
You don't need
to. It's fun to think about it.
Yeah, true.
We have a podcast called Mary and Andy Geek Out.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I do love talking about that. But yeah, basically Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, and Beast Boy are trying to dismantle this time bomb. And
time-stopping time bomb.
Yes. Oh yeah, time-stopping time bomb. And basically, it turns out it's a fake. It's just a trap, an elaborate
trap.
That
did have very expensive materials put into it.
Mm-hmm. Because Starfire was allergic to him.
Yeah, and that Cyborg recognized, like, the core as being made of the whatever.
Yeah, so even though it was just fake, it was a very... Mary just tried to swat at a gnat here.
Gently. So that it wouldn't show up on the microphone.
Little soft claps. Anyway. Yeah, it's a very well-made bomb. It's like, it's kind of like officially...
Slade spared no expenses.
Yeah, it's basically... It just sounds like it's just not quite there being a time bomb. It had all the core components. It just didn't
It looked
together.
Cool.
Yeah. But then what happened was when they defused, quote-unquote, defused the bomb... she's doing it again. When she defuses the bomb... when they defuse the bomb, they get shot at by a laser from the time bomb. And at first, the laser doesn't seem to do any harm to them. But then it turns out, hey, you've just been punked. There's a whole bunch of micro nanobots in your bloodstream.
One for each blood cell by the looks of it.
Yeah. That is some serious nanobots at work there.
So, Robin catches up to Slade, and Slade's like, okay, you're mine now, otherwise I'll kill your friends.
And Robin's like, okay.
And then he changes in front of him into a pre-tailored outfit Slade had.
Mm-hmm.
To match his costume.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Slade's creepy is what I'm saying.
Yep. It's Which great. Leads us to part two.
Oh, yeah. Also, Teen Titans can't contact him and everybody's worried.
Everyone's worried, yes. Including Starfire. Especially Starfire.
Yes.
But this leads us to the final episode of season one, episode 12, which was, I think, probably the stronger of the two parts because you got a lot of good things going on.
The first one really just sets up.
Yeah, pretty much. But in this one.
Knock them down.
You have Robin, who's forced by Slade to do his bidding, and Robin steals things and he has to fight his friends.
And steal from Wayne Industries!
Yeah! That's such a great... Because, like, even though we never see any of the main DC superheroes, like, this leans super heavy on Batman because there's that infamous scene where Slade is like, who knows? Maybe you'll even consider me as a father one day. And Robin's like, I already have a father. And then the camera pans up, and there's just bats flying around all over the place.
It's awesome.
It's great, yeah. So it's like, it's symbolism, but I love it. And then Robin steals something from a Wayne Enterprise building, and then he and the Teen Titans fight under a huge Wayne Enterprise sign, which was also pretty amazing.
Yes. And you got Robin can't say anything because Slade will kill them, but he also has to fight them. And if he doesn't, he'll kill them.
Yeah.
And all the Teen Titans are like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then Robin backs down and Slade starts to kill them.
Yeah, and Robin's like, no.
Kills them only a little.
Kills them only a little. No, don't do it.
Anyway, that's what proves to be Slade's downfall, because then the Titans are like, okay, what the hell was that? And then they find out.
Yeah, and then they strap Beast Boy up to a chair and, like, look at his bloodstream and like, oh, all right, that's kind of messed up. And then they get the idea that Robin's not actually turned traitor.
Yes. So anyway, my favorite thing about this episode, because I'm a terrible person, is how far they were really trying to see how far they could go with it. When Robin gets back after having to fight his teammates, he gets into a big fight with Slade, because I guess Slade's game for that.
Yeah.
Slade wins. Like, there's a part where he's, like, pressing his head to the ground. And, you know, talking in that voice. And then, like, finally Robin concedes again. And Slade's like, from now on, I want you to call me Master. And it's like, that is literally as far as they could have taken it before, like, the censors would have to step in. And even then, I think the censors probably should have stepped in for that one. But the Teen Titans stepped in for that one.
Yeah. All that is pretty messed up. It reminds me how great of a villain Slade is. Like, he's so calm during all of his fights with Robin. Mary can't relate to me on this one because she hasn't seen Game of Thrones. But it honestly reminds me a lot of... Nerd! It honestly reminds me a lot of Arya and the Hound. Because the Hound kidnaps...
I'm making faces at him again. I'm sorry, listeners.
The Hound not kidnaps, I'm sorry. The Hound and Arya are traveling together. Arya hates the Hound. She tries to kill the Hound any chance she gets. And the Hound just puts her back in her place and he just deals with it. He's just like, for God's sakes, just don't kill me. I'm trying to return you back to your family at least. And it's such a great dynamic. There it's kind of a more... messed up, but kind of more consensual-ish in a way. Whereas here, it's like, no, this is totally master and slave right now.
Master and slave trying to kill master.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Yeah. But it was pretty good, and then the...
We're going to play some voice clips, right?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. I've been putting voice clips on the episodes.
Yeah, I don't listen to them. I have too much shame.
And for those who forget, so the way Robin beats Slade in the end is that Robin forces himself to get the nanobots in his blood cells. And there's this great scene where when they're in Slade's main room, you see the four huge screens, and they show...
It shows everyone's infected bloodstreams.
Yeah, and so when Robin infects himself, then new screen lights up that shows Robin's bloodstream. And it's such amazingly well done. And then Robin is now tortured, and when Slade tortures the Titans who have the nanobots in the bloodstream, for some reason they just light up right up. They light right up into an orange glow, and they scream. And Robin sees this. He gets himself infected. He's now glowing orange. He approaches Slade, and he's like, what does he say? He says, like...
Something, I know how you hate to lose.
Yeah, like...
Can't remember.
New deal, Slade. If you kill me, you'll no longer have an apprentice.
If you kill my friends, you kill me.
Yeah, and I know how much you hate to lose. And Slade just looks at him for a long time. He's like, okay.
Okay, the way you delivered that reminded me of that bit in Futurama.
Where
Hermes is like about to shove this box with the universe in it out the airlock, and then they all come out. And
yeah.
They're like, don't do it! Don't press the button! And he looks between them, looks at the button. He's like, okay.
Such a good scene. Yeah. I love that scene. I know that scene you're talking about.
Now somebody needs to dub that.
Yes. And that's great. And so Slade... Robin finally gets the upper hand on Slade, too. He actually breaks his mask.
You
see his, like... It's still... His face is still in the shadows, but you see some hair coming out. Short hair.
Looks like a young dude.
Yeah, and
young
so...
Young white dude.
He runs away. The whole base falls apart. And they manage to escape.
And I want to say, that was hella presumptuous on Robin's part.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a gambit.
True. I mean, if all his friends were dead, he'd probably be better off dead anyway.
Yeah, so, like, he had, like, what else could he have done?
True. But, good point. He probably didn't think it would work now that I think about it.
Also, Robin's...
Like, I wouldn't have, like, for all of Slade's obsession with Robin, I wouldn't have thought that he'd let him go as soon as he lost control, you know?
Right. But then they got the upper hand on him, and they were able to beat Slade, and that's when he had to escape. Robin...
Where was his butler that whole... Did his butler die?
His butler is no longer... He wasn't there. Yeah, you're right. That's so funny.
He couldn't fit in the costume.
How dare you. Also, Robin's very different from Batman. Robin just charges into things, and Batman, like... stops, calculates, and then goes for it.
That reminds me of what the voice actors were saying in that bit. Like, Robin is the kind of guy who will jump off a building and then figure out how to survive on the way down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Batman would have come up with a plan...
Before the jumping.
Yeah, well, like, in this case...
Oh, before he even met Slade, yeah.
He would probably have come up with a plan. If he was infected, if his friends were in danger... He would have come up with a plan that would not have endangered himself or his friends in that way, if I were to guess.
You're going to wish you hadn't done that.
I only wish I'd done it sooner.
I have much to teach you, but the first thing you need to learn is gratitude. I made you my apprentice. All my knowledge, all my power, all for you. But the only thing you care about is your worthless little friends. If the Titans are so distracting, maybe I should just get rid of them.
Don't. I'll do whatever you say.
Good boy. And from now on, I'd like you to call me Master.
Leave him alone!
All right, listeners, it is time for Mary's theory that is totally not true, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it fits too good, Corner. And he's already heard this one. The reason Slade allowed Robin to live after all that was because Robin is Slade.
Oh, yeah.
Time travel shenanigans, alternate universe, I don't know. The reason he was so obsessed with Robin was because he wanted to train himself to be his greatest self. Now, if Robin died, that clan kind of... He kills himself and ruins the plan.
So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh. It's kind of like in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Harry Potter sees himself doing the Expecto Patronum, the Patronus charm, and thus knows he can do it because he sees himself doing it. So maybe, is it kind of like that, I guess?
I don't know. I get confused when I think about it too much. Anyway, Slade is Robin from the future trying to make himself into Slade. And, yeah, and the reason he gives up is because he might kill himself. They both have spiky hair!
Ooh.
And also, Slade is a lot like Batman. I think I pointed that out already.
Yeah.
He's self-made.
What about Nightwing?
And rich, apparently. See, Nightwing happens in the future where Starfire is missing.
Hmm.
Also, I actually have no idea what kind of future leads Robin to become Slade. Although, I got Red Hood. Anyway. Which Robin was Red Hood?
Oh,
the one that died.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm trying to think. It's not Tim. Jason.
No, it's Jason.
It is Jason, okay. Because what's the other one?
Anyway, this one's Dick Grayson.
Oh, that's Dick Grayson. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, so Jason's the one that becomes the Red Hood.
Yes. So, maybe future Robin actually got mixed up. He's like, am I this kid?
Yeah.
Is this one that becomes me?
This is the one. God damn it, Batman, you don't...
Oh, there's a thought. What if somebody went back in time and didn't actually know which person they actually had to deal with? Like, they didn't do their research before they went back. It's like, I think this is right.
Dicks with time machines. Or no, jackasses? Yeah, no. Jackasses with or dicks with time machines.
Anyway, this has gotten convoluted.
Yes. Reeling it
corners,
back in.
Corner's over.
What? Okay.
The corner is shut.
Now
get out of my corner.
Now it's a round room. No corners here. Anyway. and then we end the episode with waffles.
Oh, yeah. Tofu waffles.
Which is funny because I always thought it was like a running gag in Teen Titans Go about waffles. And then I see it happen in the regular Teen Titans. I was like, no, wow. It had its roots since season one.
You know what'd be fun? Let's all go out for waffles. Raven, you like waffles, don't you?
More than life itself.
So it's the end of the season. So what I want to do is... Well, first, of these four episodes, which was your favorite?
Probably the last one. That's really the most fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Mad Mod?
I like that, but I really, really, really like Slade. Creep up to his, like, up to 11.
Well, I think this is our first time that we're disagreeing on our favorite episode for this podcast episode. Because I think the Mad Mod's my favorite one of the four.
I respect that decision.
Okay, what did you think was the weakest?
Oh, probably Apprentice Part 1, since that was mostly just
setting
things up.
Apprentice Part 1, I think. There's a lot of setup. Not a lot of
some good character dynamics, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. But definitely, like,
and get like some good interacting when they're trying to defuse the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
Yeah. And definitely, the MVP for this arc was Robin. He didn't really do anything for Cyborg's car. But, like, he helped out in Mad Mod, and he really shined in this, in the season finale. Because this is, season one is the Robin season.
Yes.
Even though it wasn't really even that much Robin focus, we only got a few, which was shocking to me. We only basically get, at least, we get the two episodes in the season finale. We get the Red X episode. And then we have the episode with the forces of nature where Robin fights Slade for the first time. And then we get a little bit with him for the Hive when they infiltrate the Teen Titans Tower. But that's about it. So as far as like a season-centric episode for Robin, it's not that much, I think.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I guess they don't need to focus as much on him because he's the leader, so he automatically is kind of spotlight, you know?
Yes. So now, since it's the end of the season, what I want us to do is I want to go over our favorite episode and our weakest episode. So I'm going to go through each of the episodes, one after the other, just to keep this in mind. So the first one was Divide and Conquer with the... Cinderblock and the slime creature.
Plasmus.
Plasmus, yes. Episode 2 is Sisters. Episode 3 is Final Exam with the Hive infiltrating the place. Episode 4 is Forces of Nature, which is the Thunder and Lightning one. Episode 5, Some of His Parts. That's the one with Fix It.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 6, Nevermore. That was the one with Ravens. Multiple personalities.
Episodes, aspects.
Aspects, yeah. Episode 7 is Switched. That's the puppet episode.
Ooh, yeah.
Episode 8 is Deep Six. That's the Aqualad. 9 is Masks. That's Red X. Then finally, episode... Did I miscount here? No, I didn't. Well, somehow I got counted up. Whoops. Anyway, episode... Oh, wait, there's 13 episodes? Anyway, then there's Mad Mod, then there's Cyborg's Car, and then there's the season finale.
All right. Well, for me, it's kind of a tie between Switched and Final Exam. Although I'm leaning towards Switched just because...
But you always liked Switched, though, even...
Yeah. Well, I rewatched it, and it's still very strong. And it still offers what a lot of shows don't, which is a very strong relationship between two female characters.
That's true.
It's very different female characters, too.
I'm gonna have to stick with my gut and go for Final Exam. I do like Switched. I do like...
Final Exam has an excellent balance in terms of action, character, story...
It's just so fun of an episode.
Yeah.
It's such a fun episode, and not, like, over the top like the Mad Mod episode, but it's such a fun, full team episode where they're working together against a nefarious group, even in the comfort of their own homes. There's, like, so much going for it. And I don't even saying this, I don't think I'm saying this because of the nostalgia kicking in. That was the first episode I ever seen of Teen Titans. Watching all these episodes of season one, that's definitely, like, the best one, I think, that stands out to me.
Cool.
And then which one do you think is the weakest episode?
I was thinking the Aqualad one.
Yeah. Either the Aqualad episode or the Fixic one, the Sum of His Parts.
See, I really like that one. Because you got Mumbo, for one thing, who I adore, and I thought Cyborg's plot was very interesting.
Yeah, I can see that. The Aqualad one, like...
The Aqualad one? Aqualad is not very interesting.
No.
The villain was not very interesting. It did not focus on the relationships between the characters quite so much, and was just too zoomed in on Beast Boy alone.
Yeah.
And his relationship with the boring character we just met.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my diagnosis. I do like the fish dude. Yeah. I think that is, like, the one thing that should have come back in later episodes.
I think
not
he does. I think the fish dude does come back.
Cool.
But yeah, the I think you're right. I think Deep Six, out of all the episodes, I think this still remains one of my, like, eh. I mean, I like Beast Boy, but it's like, unfortunately.
Yeah, but Beast Boy excels when he's playing off other characters that we care about. Not some boring pretty boy. Isn't even that pretty.
So, from here on, what are you looking forward to seasons 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Oh my god, the Control Freak episodes.
Yeah, I thought Control Freak was in season 1. I guess he's coming up in season 2. So, yeah, looking forward to Control Freak.
Control Freak is us.
Yeah.
The nerds watching the show.
Yeah. He's so hot.
Don't know why you went there with that. That was not the direction the joke wanted to go. And yet here we are. I'm just going to let that mosquito bite you.
No. and then yeah, that one I'm looking forward to that one. I'm also looking forward to
Greetings, Titans. What? That's how Control Freak introduced him.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah. Greetings, Titans! He's really, like, pushing himself there.
He reversed it.
Yes.
You know he did.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, Lord. And the whatever Robin's version of Batmite is. That's, like, the last season. That is nuts.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
God, this show, yeah, it's absurd, which, you know, comics are absurd, so
yeah.
It makes sense.
Sorry if we're a little bit slow. It's 10 o'clock right now. We're a bit tired. I'm trying to think. The other thing I'm looking forward to, I had it earlier and then I forgot. I'm really just looking forward to season 5 in general. Like, there's just a lot. I just remember fondly of it having a lot of good, strong Beast Boy episodes and a lot of things just coming together nicely. So, there's that.
Oh, I'm also looking forward to Fear Itself. It's a Raven episode.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that one, and I'm also looking for the one where Beast Boy turns into that monster werewolf thing.
Yeah.
That one's great. And I'm kind of looking forward to Terra. Like,
I'm uncomfortable.
I have mixed
feelings. Yeah, we all do.
I have mixed feelings about it. But I think that's going to make it even more enjoyable, just seeing it and just being like, well,
we'll have things to say.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one I'm looking forward to, because I know this is season 2, is the one where Robin gets kidnapped and by some sort of sports overlord, and he combats...
Oh, the gladiator.
Yeah. That's where we first meet Speedy.
Yep.
So, that one
is literally a Robin ripoff.
Yes. But, so that one's going to be fun, too. So, a lot of good stuff. Season 1, good precursor to the stronger seasons that we'll see hit us later on. I think they're stronger.
Okay.
Cool.
You're entitled to your opinions.
Yes. One final thing, I guess. So we're going to take a break from watching Teen Titans, even though we just gushed about what we're looking forward to. We're going to do a nostalgia episode.
Obscure nostalgia.
Obscure nostalgia. This
stuff
is one that Mary requested.
Yes, stuff that was a very important part of our childhood, individual childhoods, that nobody else actually really seems to remember. Or, you know, none of our friends. Like, don't add us when Andy's thing comes on. It's like, I remember that.
Wait, what? What was mine?
Yours is BattleBots, isn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking about BattleBots, and then I was like, I'm trying to think of one that I haven't, that I've really dug up from the past, because I've hit a lot of my nostalgic things, Pokemon, Digimon, BattleBots. So I'm trying to think of one that I haven't really gone back to in a while. But what's up? Jackie Chan. People still remember Jackie Chan.
Yeah, no, they do.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like I might talk about that one. I won't give away yours, so.
Thanks.
But I will. I want to sit on a little bit longer. I do have one. It's not quite the one. It might not be in the same track that Mary is thinking, but we'll see how it goes.
All right.
But in the meanwhile, thanks for joining us for
another episode.
Another episode. Yep.
Of Andy and Mary Geek Out.
No! I got it. Mary and Andy Geek Out.
I was Mago. Thinking Mago, yes.
Yeah.
Right. We have an email, too.
I totally forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to send death threats or complaints, please don't.
You're so self-conscious about it.
I am a lady on the internet.
You're so worried that people will be so, judgmental of us.
That's because people on the internet are judgmental.
Yes. But that's okay, because I care
about
you.
Remember that weird rant you got on your blog?
I care about us, and we're having a great time doing this.
That's true. That's why you're reading the emails and I'm not.
Just kissed her hand right now. Like that. There we go. That's a softer kiss. Anyway, it's Mary and Andy Geek Out at gmail.com.
We'll come up with a shorter one someday, maybe.
I tried typing in other ones like Mary and Andy, and that one was already taken. I was like, well, going for Mary and Andy Geek Out. So, yeah. Mary and Andy Geek Out at gmail.com. Like I said, we have our SoundCloud, we have iTunes. And then I have my blog, unapologeticnerd.com, where I write all sorts of fun, nerdy stuff on there.
And I have nothing, but one day I might be a published author, so I'll tell you about that when it happens.
Yes. Sounds good. Cool. Sorry, I'm winding down.
Until next time. Catchphrase.
Oh no.